The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole, 6-0-1-0.
Welcome in to the Halloween edition of the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast. I am Secret Squirrel Daniel Dopp, joined by Mike Clay. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing good. How about you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
I'm looking forward to trick-or-treating. It's going to be cold, wet, rainy tonight, but I'll be taking the kids out. We'll do some trick-or-treating. I'm excited to get some new candy in the house.
I love it. I love it. And also, we're joined by Al Zeidenfeld. Yes. Al, how you doing, bud?
Doing pretty good. Kids are at school wearing all their costumes. Everybody's ready to go trick-or-treating tonight.
You're so, wearing your children's costumes while they're at school?
I mean, don't you?
I'm wearing a Matt Patricia sleepover costume right now.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, for people who didn't listen to the first podcast today, I'm Prison Mike from The Office, of course.
Nobody saw that.
What are you dressed up as? What are you dressed up as?
I am a dad. I am dressed up as a dad today. I've got shorts. I've got a nice little hoodie on, some running shoes. I'm dressed up just like a dad. Very elaborate costume for me.
Super elaborate dad costume. All right. I like it. All right.
All right. Let's roll.
Why don't we get into some DFS talk? But before we do, join our weekly contest with unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes. We are going to tweet it out. You can join us there. It's a lot of fun. Doesn't cost any money. You can win some. You can win some buckaroos, and you can maybe be better than Mike and I.
Yeah, we'll see. Many have been. Yes.
You know what? We're having fun with it, though. All right, let's talk about some quarterbacks here because Jameis Winston, Mike Clay, Jameis Winston, $6,100 at Seattle is a player that you like, and I'm wondering what is it about Jameis that you're digging this week against the Seahawks?
There's a few things, including this matchup. Look, Winston started slow this season, was a bit of a disappointment, but believe it or not, during the past 5 weeks that Tampa Bay has played a game, he is QB3 in fantasy points. I don't think many people realize that. A lot of volume in this Bucs offense. Winston right now top 10 in dropbacks, pass attempts, passing touchdowns, third highest OTD, which is opportunity-adjusted touchdowns, or your expected touchdown total based on how much volume you have and where you're throwing your passes. He's also ninth in quarterback carries, so doing a little bit, adding a little bit of value as a rusher as well. Now, you might think, well, Mike, Tampa Bay's traveling across the country to Seattle. They're not going to be as good on the road.
Hold on, Mike. Like, Tampa Bay is traveling across the country to play Seattle. They're not going to be as good on the road.
Yeah, see, that's what I just said.
I was thinking that.
That's incredible that you and these made-up people I'm talking about are on the same page.
That's weird.
However, Daniel Dopp, here are the point totals scored by Tampa Bay on the road this year. 20, 55, that was against the Rams. That was a West Coast game with a lot of travel.
Wow.
24 and 23. So, you know, they've been mostly right around that 20 to 24 range, but averaging 31 points per game overall. They also scored 26, 31, and 17 in three home games. So the offense has been terrific in terms of scoring a lot of points. If you have Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, you know what I'm talking about. Seattle, meanwhile, is being outscored at home this season. They've allowed 20, 33, 29, and 30 points in four home games. A competition not terribly tough either, especially if you include, you know, Cincinnati in week one, who put up some points on them. Seahawks, by the way, 13th most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. They just got lit up by Matt Schaub last week. 7th or worse in pass attempts, completions, passing yards allowed. Only 13 sacks, that's 5th fewest in the league. And also giving up a lot of rushing production to quarterbacks as well. They've only allowed 9 passing touchdowns. It's really the only concerning stat there. But overall, you can put up fantasy points in Seattle this year. You put up points in Seattle and against this defense. I have really no reservations with Winston here at only 6,100.
Okay, I like it. The idea, no matter what, even if he has turnovers, he's going to throw the ball 65 times a game. So, and maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration. He's going to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah, that's an exaggeration, but you're right. It's a high-volume, highly productive Bucs offense.
Yep. All right, let's talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick, $4,800 taking on the New York Jets, and I cannot believe that we are suggesting a Miami Dolphins quarterback be a DFS play this week, Mike, but here we are, and that value is just so low.
Yeah, this allows you to go cheap a quarterback and spend up elsewhere, right? So we said Winston's 6,100. Well, Fitzpatrick's only 4,800. He is the 17th highest price among 20 quarterback options in the main slate at DraftKings this week, just super cheap. He does only have one top 20 this season, but remember, he wasn't playing some of those games. He was in there for maybe half the game and Rosen was mixed in. They obviously were really bad at the beginning of the season. They've been better as of late. In fact, 2+ offensive touchdowns in 3 straight games. The Jets defense, by the way, that's another plus here for Miami. They've allowed 2+ touchdowns in every game and they just traded away Leonard Williams. More on the Jets defense, 17th most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. That's nothing crazy by any means, but they've allowed the 4th most pass attempts, 6th most completions, and 10th most yards through the air. They only have 9 sacks, 3rd fewest. And again, just like it's kind of eerily similar to Seattle, they have only allowed 9 passing touchdowns. So again, not getting sacks, but not allowing touchdowns either. A couple variables worth considering here, but nonetheless, I think at that price, $4,800, that fits as an option here.
Yeah, it's tough because even though the Dolphins have been so bad, like there's value to be had.
Yeah.
And especially with this team that they're playing, the Jets are, you know, not fantastic. So it's a great place, like you said, to be able to pay a little bit less at quarterback and then stack up at some other positions. Maybe we'll talk about some of those positions a little bit later on in the podcast.
I think we will.
We probably will. Smiz, you are loving, here's a weird thing. The sheet says David Carr. I don't know as though David Carr is the quarterback
he's
we want
so
to play.
Good studio, he's so good in studio, though. Very value play in the studio. You know, obviously, it's Derek Carr. I was a bit tired when I filled in the sheet.
David Carr is an analyst one here, but Derek Carr, $5,500, taking on the Detroit Lions. I'll tell you what, the Lions can absolutely be had on defense. And so talk to me about Derek Carr here.
I mean, you mentioned it. The Lions give up the 7th most DraftKings points to opposing quarterbacks at 22.04 per game, 189.5 yards allowed. Carr has thrown multiple touchdowns in 4 of his last 5 games. The only game that he didn't was the one that was in London. So, like, I kind of take the London games out. There's a little different context for those games, for me at least. Obviously, they matter, and obviously they count, but, like, it's a player and a team that's completely out of their normal regimen and out of their normal schedule, and these guys are creatures of habit, obviously. So, as you said, this is a really high-scoring, expected total game, one of 2 games that's over 50 on the slate. You're going to have to get a little bit out of your comfort zone this week. A lot of the plays that we like to make at different positions, we'll talk about them a little bit later, aren't usually where they land. And DraftKings has really, really ratcheted up the pricing in week 9. So you're going to have to find value in certain spots that you may not be comfortable finding value. And Derek Carr, for me, is an uncomfortable value. But, like, I mean, El Camino just came out on Netflix, and, like, this dude, if you look at his picture, looks just like Jesse Pinkman, so I'm all in.
I love it. The idea, especially on Halloween, all right, he looks like Jesse Pinkman, so maybe I'll give him a shot.
Yeah.
Let's do that. I'm there. I think Derek Carr has an interesting stack opportunity maybe a little bit later on when we get into the tight end position we could talk about here, too. But you, I'm with you there on Derek Carr, somebody that I like a lot this week. Someone else that I want to talk about, Phillip Rivers, $5,100, taking on the Green Bay Packers. He's priced below both quarterbacks in the Titans-Panthers game and on the same level as Baker Mayfield. Rivers is simply too cheap. $5,100. If he can give you 81% of what Matt Moore did last weekend against the Packers, he completely pays off his salary. So the idea that he is going to be as good as Matt Moore, I'm thinking that I'm okay with that. Another guy that if you want to spend a little bit less money, I understand Keenan Allen was banged up trying to figure out whether or not he's got healthy pass catchers. Mike Williams has been a little bit disappointing, but still a guy that, like, man, with all of everything that he is, eventually is going to be able to take advantage of that, you would think. So, just another guy there if you want to go cheap at quarterback. Let's move on to some running backs where I know we just talked about Derek Carr here, but Josh Jacobs, Mike Clay, $6,500 taken on the Detroit Lions. I mean, he's a guy that this Lions team can absolutely be had through the ground. I'm assuming that's why we like Josh Jacobs this week.
Indeed, and rushing volume for Josh Jacobs as well. Look, Jacobs has probably not been as solid as you think in fantasy. He's only had 3 of his 8 weeks where he's finished as a top 20 fantasy running back, but he's averaging 19.75 carries per game since week 4 and his 2+ catches in all 4 of his game since that point, which is trending up from when he was just a non-factor out of the gate. So at least it's a little something extra as a pass catcher. He is 6th in the NFL in rushing yards. He's 9th in carries inside the 5 with 6. He's 9th in yards per carry. He's 3rd in yards after contact per attempt. So he has been effective and is getting the rock on early downs. And you mentioned the Lions defense, Daniel. 2nd most fantasy points to running backs. 4th or worse in scrimmage yards. Scrimmage touchdowns with 11. Carries inside the 5. They've allowed the most receiving yards and touchdowns as well as the highest yards per catch to running backs this season. It's a guy that gets a lot of touches against a defense that cannot stop running backs. They're making changes at linebacker right now. It's just been a disaster. So definitely like Jacobs a lot at 6,500.
I like him a lot too, unfortunately. I wish I didn't like him as much as I did, given the fact that I love the Detroit Lions, but here we are. Let's move on and talk about Derrick Henry. I am shocked at this. Derrick Henry, $5,700 taken on the Carolina Panthers. Again, this is another one of those running backs that is just volume, 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 Mike.
No question about it. And he's priced below Jamal Williams, which is just crazy
to me. He's a backup running back.
He is a backup running back for the Green Bay Packers. Yes. That is correct. And Williams has spiked a little in value the past few weeks. But, man, it's just not sustainable with Aaron Jones soaking up so much usage. But, yeah, Henry, $5,700 here at Carolina. Henry, fourth in carries right now. Again, a lot like Jacobs, 18.9 carries per game. He's ninth in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. Seventh among backs in total touchdowns. Fifth in touches. Fifth in touches. Even with a minimal receiving workload, he is fifth at the running back position in touches. He's top five in yards after contact per attempt for the third straight season. The guy is a legit good runner. And this week he's playing the Panthers defense. Sixth most fantasy points allowed to running backs. They've allowed 10 rushing touchdowns, Daniel. And we know that's where Henry can deliver, right? Rushing touchdowns.
Yep.
That is most in the NFL they have allowed. They've also allowed 12 total touchdowns to running backs, which is most. They're allowing 4.9 yards per carry. That's third worst. And they are elite at shutting down running backs in the passing game, which is notable because guess what? We don't care about that for Derrick Henry. Yep. He's not going to do anything
that's
as
not
a
his
pass
thing.
Catcher anyway. We care about those rushing stats. That is a terrific matchup here for Henry.
Okay. Al, I would just like to read what it is that we have here. We put together a note every Wednesday night in the Google Doc, mm-hmm. and next to where it says your running back, it says Aaron Jones, $7,000. But seriously, just play CMC and then figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have you talk about either or both of them.
I mean, look, Aaron Jones is a good value play because he allows you to fit CMC in there. It's going to be a difficult week in terms of running backs to try and fit Christian McCaffrey with another high-dollar running back. Cook has been priced way up to 9,500. Players across the board, tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, have all been priced up between 5 to 20%. So everybody is in an uncomfortable spot. You mentioned Jamal Williams, who's priced higher than certain starters as a backup. And while I would prefer that Aaron Jones be the Aaron Jones that he was with Jamal Williams out, I'm not wishing injury on anybody, just the volume that he was getting both on the ground in the pass game. The volume in the pass game has sustained with Williams there. 7 catches against Kansas City, 4 against Oakland, 4 against Detroit, 7 against Dallas. And that's what's really propelling him in the full PPR situation at DraftKings, because he's still getting double-digit carries. He's pushing 20 touches. 7K, yeah, I'd rather him be in the 6K range based on that volume, but everybody's been priced up. So he's still in a pretty good spot against the Chargers team, allowing over 100 yards on the ground against running backs. And as I said, people are going to shy away from Christian McCaffrey because he's 10,000 and not like 9,800. Don't do that. Just play Christian McCaffrey.
That's tough. Those, as soon as it goes from being 4 digits to 5 digits, all of a sudden everything just feels different. You know what I mean?
If he was 9,999, yeah. If he was 99.99, it would feel like a bargain.
Yeah, yes. Everyone would be in there. All right, I like it. I like it. A couple other running backs that we have here: Philip Lindsay, assuming that he plays this week. Same goes with Mark Walton, super cheap option, but with Kenyon Drake leaving that team, Mark Walton is the de facto guy there. Very cheap running back. Maybe if you played, if you're trying to find a good spot for your flex play, we can talk about that a little bit later. And then Nick Chubb, $7,300 taking on the Denver Broncos. And I understand he is the fifth most expensive running back on the main slate, but Chubb averages the third most yards per carry before first contact amongst running backs with 75 plus carries this season. And the Broncos are allowing the second most yards per carry after first contact. I mean, Nick Chubb has been absolutely fantastic this year. If you cannot fit a CMC in there, or you get to a spot where you realize maybe you have to downgrade just a little bit, Nick Chubb is a really great option.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens with Chubb's pricing with Kareem Hunt one game away from a return. It's going
to
be interesting.
I know. It'll be interesting to see. All right, let's move ahead to wide receivers, where we've got a couple of guys here that are super cheap, Mike Clay. Curtis Samuel, $4,300, and DJ Moore, $4,800, taking on the Tennessee Titans. Both of them coming in at under $5,000. Seems like great value.
Yeah, the Panthers come in at values pretty much everywhere, whether it's a good or great value on our chart, which you can find at ESPN Plus. You see Christian McCaffrey on there. He's still a value, even at $10,000. Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore both show up as two of the best values at wide receiver. Greg Olsen, is an option there as well. I mean, just across the board. So you might want to think about maybe in a tournament, a stack there, right, with Kyle Allen, maybe one of these receivers, maybe both receivers, maybe McCaffrey and one of them, something like that. But something to think about. So Samuel's 4,300, Moore 4,800. They are wide receiver 26 and 34 in pricing. And I think if you look at our rankings, we probably have them a little bit higher than that, right? So let's dive into each of them quickly here. Samuel has a 23% target share this season. That is a big number. He has six or more targets in six straight games, or he's averaging 8.3 per game. He has a rough 30% off target rate. So part of the problem is Kyle Allen. And yes, I get it. Kyle Allen is still a starter. That bothers me. But if he gets a few more of those on track, Samuel could put together a decent day. He also has three touchdowns. He has been used downfield and near the goal line. DJ Moore, 24% target share, even higher than Curtis Samuel, 8.3 targets per game for the season. Moore has 13 plus fantasy points in five of his seven games. He's 13th at the wide receiver position in receptions. The problem with Moore, though, not a lot of touchdown upside here, right? Zero end zone targets, a 1.10 TD. I will say this, though, Daniel. 39% of the Panthers' touchdowns are passes. That is lowest in the NFL.
Wow.
Even with Christian McCaffrey scoring a lot, that is not a sustainable number. It should be closer to 50, maybe 55%. So maybe that starts to shift this week and going forward for this Panthers offense. One quick final note, the Titans defense, above average against wide receivers overall, but they're allowing the 11th most fantasy points to the perimeter. Both Samuel and Moore line up on the perimeter over 70% of the time. They'll face Malcolm Butler. And if he's back, Adoree Jackson, who's pretty good corner, solid at least. He was out last week. He can miss this one as well. So could potentially be a good matchup as well.
Okay, love that. Looking at another wide receiver here, Chris Godwin, $7,300. I know we talked about his quarterback, Jameis Winston, off the top, but the volume that Chris Godwin is getting from Jameis Winston is just outrageous. And I've got to assume, Mike, that just like everything you said for Jameis, being able to take care of that passing game, same thing applies here for Chris Godwin.
Yes, and Godwin has a better matchup this week than Mike Evans. So perhaps this is one of the weeks he booms, because they've been kind of like one or the other, right?
Talk to me about that matchup. Why is it that he has a better matchup than Mike Evans?
They're playing Seattle, so he's going to be in the slot. Seattle has allowed the 12th most fantasy points of players aligned in the slot. They haven't been able to replace Justin Coleman. They've been using a lot of Jamar Taylor, who when he's on the field, he's heavily targeted, 30% of his coverage snaps. They've kind of mixed and matched other guys. I want to see if Quandre Diggs perhaps this week gets some run in the slot. That's a possibility for sure. I think they probably wanted his versatility. But he gets Taylor. Mike Evans will be on the outside. He is a neutral matchup, because he'll see on one side, he'll see Shaq Griffin, who's having a breakout season at corner. He's been good. And then if Trey Flowers is back from injury, he'll see him, and he's really struggled his entire career. So it's kind of neutral for him, half and half, whereas Godwin, it's good all day. And you mentioned a number three scoring fantasy receiver. Four top six fantasy weeks. So he can win you a week.
Seriously.
He's had some bust, of course. Three finishes, 30th or worse. But he's top 10 in targets, receptions, yards. He leads the NFL with six touchdown catches. Has the third highest catch rate. He's averaging 11.6 yards per target, second best. He's efficient. The volume's there. The matchup's good. And by the way, we mentioned the Seattle defense. Cooper Kupp, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyler Boyd, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, Russell Gage, all primarily slot receivers. All of them reach double-digit fantasy points against the Seahawks this season.
Gosh.
So, Seahawks have only allowed four touchdowns to receivers, which is a bit of a red flag, but otherwise they leave up a ton of volume to them. I think Godwin will be okay.
Totally. And you look at the idea again, he gets over 100 points, or excuse me, 100 yards. And
100
points would, I mean, that would probably do pretty well for you. But hugely targeted over the last four games, 14 targets, 9 targets, 12 targets, 8 targets. He's had over 25 fantasy points in four of his seven games so far this year. Not that you needed any more proof based on everything that you said, but yes. Chris Godwin, fantastic play this week.
Yep.
Al, you've got a couple guys listed here, and I'm a little bit surprised by the first one. I'm really excited to hear what you like about Jarvis Landry with Baker Mayfield under center. $4,500, Al Zeidenfeld. Talk me into Jarvis Landry.
I mean, where most people are going to land this week at wide receiver is at probably two players between 4K and 5K on DraftKings. Jarvis Landry, one of the players in that range that sees the most volume, at least six targets in every game this year, and only player in the NFL with a 20-plus yard catch in each of his team's seven games this season. So, when you think of Jarvis Landry, you're like, well, he's just the guy that's going to get these short targets. And he was, when he was in Miami, 6.3 air yards per target. In his time in Cleveland, 10.5 air yards per target. So a totally different wide receiver, or at least in the way he's being utilized. Yes, it's not an easy matchup, but I'm banking on the volume here being converted into catches, because like I said, this is a tough week, and when you pay up, you need to find value and value with volume. If you can afford a little bit more, give me a guy in a better matchup, right? We want to roster Russ Wilson in games that we think he's going to throw for 35 or more times. That doesn't happen very often. I think it's happened 3 times so far this year. This looks like one of those opportunities up against the Buccaneers, who just won't let you run the ball as much as Carroll and his gum chewing wants to just keep pounding the rock into the line with Carson. I don't think they're going to be able to do that successfully this week, which means they're going to have to take to the air. And I want somebody who's got touchdown upside in that mid-range, and DK Metcalf with more end zone targets than anybody in the league. We saw him convert a couple of those into touchdowns last week. I think that as that volume sustains in the red zone and in the end zone, so will his touchdowns sustain in the red zone and in the end zone moving forward.
So I just want to reiterate that one more time. DK Metcalf has the most end zone targets of any player in the NFL this season.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Incredible. All right. I mean, talk about upside there, especially against a Buccaneers defense that can be had. All right. A couple other guys we want to mention. Davante Adams, if he plays, definitely make sure that you're looking as whether or not he is going to be active on Sunday. Devontae Parker, I mean, listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick's got to throw to somebody. Devontae Parker does not seem like a bad option for him there. And Mike Williams, here's a cheap option at wide receiver, $4,600, taking on Green Bay. If you stack Phillip Rivers, who is also super cheap, who I mentioned earlier in the show, with Mike Williams, you are have a huge salary cap relief there with your stack at quarterback and wide receiver to be able to pay up at some other places. So just an option there for you. Totally understand Mike Williams has not been what it is that we had hoped for. I wanted to see a little bit more from him so far this year to be able to utilize his side and his skills. But you know what? It's all still there. I think sooner or later it is going to get put together. And this week could maybe be one of those weeks where he takes advantage of it.
One of the unluckiest players I've ever seen in touchdowns at the midway point.
Wow.
Ever. I mean, it's just unreal. The usage he's getting, I think he's current. Yeah, right now he's sixth in the NFL in end zone targets.
Wow.
Not far behind Metcalf. Just terrible, terrible luck. I mean, another one last week just sailed just over his head from Phillip Rivers. You know, they're going to come. As if the usage doesn't change, he'll score a bunch of touchdowns.
Okay. Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, the DFS version, is sponsored by ADT. What does real protection mean for our listeners? It means you get all the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you. You get 18,000 employees safeguarding you with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks, and lights controlled from the ADT app or from the sound of your voice. You get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You get a system custom designed to fit your home and the safety on the go, whether you're in the car or your kids are at school, with the ADT Go app and an SOS button. Please support ADT because they support us. I'll tell you what, it seems like they got a lot of options to be able to help keep you safe there. So thank you to ADT for sponsoring the CSS DFS podcast. All right. Let's talk about some tight ends here, and Mike Clay, Jack Doyle, super cheap option, super, super cheap at tight end, $3,000 taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is as bargain of a play as you could possibly get while still having somebody that is going to likely be targeted on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we talked about, you know, perhaps Ryan Fitzpatrick being kind of a punt option at the quarterback position, and I think maybe Doyle could be that at tight end, right? Only 3,000. He is the number 21 tight end
wow.
in terms of pricing this week. That is super cheap. Sometimes you're paying, you know, about that for your defense and you can get a tight end in there. And look, Doyle hasn't been super good this season, but, you know, just to add on to that, no weekly finish is better than 11. So you haven't seen the upside. However, he's trending the right direction. 5+ targets in 3 of his past 4 games, had a season high 61 yards last week. Only has 1 touchdown, but he has 3 end zone targets. That's 10th most of tight ends. He's 13th among tight ends in targets. The Colts have 2 or more passing touchdowns in 5 of their 7 games. By the way, the matchup, pretty good. Steelers, 8th most fantasy points allowed to tight ends, the 12th most catches, and the 4th most touchdowns and 6th most end zone targets allowed to tight ends this season. So that might benefit Eric Ebron a little bit, but Doyle's only $3,000 and the targets are trending up. So I think he's a fine option there. Again, only 3,000. You just need a handful of catches, Daniel, and that's paying off, and you could spend up on guys like Christian McCaffrey and other superstars at other spots.
Okay. Love that as a cheaper option. Let's talk about a guy if you want to spend up at the tight end position, a team that I think can be had against the tight end. The Detroit Lions will be facing no tight end that I think will be better this week than Darren Waller. $6,300. Mike, I'm nervous going into this game as a Lions fan. Please tell me why Darren Waller is going to tear our defense apart.
Yeah, you've been shredding the Lions defense while sitting here in your Lions hat and Lions onesie.
You know what?
And your Matt Patricia Halloween
I don't feel
costume.
Good about it, but it's about not being biased and about calling a spade a spade.
That's exactly right. And look, Darren Waller, 6,300 against the Lions. He's outscoring Travis Kelce by 2 fantasy points per game this season, but he's $600 less when setting your lineup. So that's interesting at the very least. Even with the bye, Waller currently top 5 at tight end in fantasy points, targets, receptions, yards, touchdowns. He's been a top 14 fantasy tight end all 7 weeks that he has played. The Oakland offense, by the way, this is, I think you're going to get this because I tipped it off. There's only one team in the NFL, one offense, Daniel, that has scored 3 or more touchdowns in each of its past 4 games. One team. Who is that?
Probably the Oakland Raiders.
It's the Oakland Raiders.
What?
You nail. I don't know how you got that. Impressive. That was supposed to be a tough one. It is the Raiders offense. 3-plus touchdowns in 4 straight games. Again, they're facing this Lions defense that has allowed the 11th most fantasy points to tight ends, the 12th most catches, the 5th most yards, the 6th highest yards per catch, the 10th highest catch rate. You name it. They're struggling against the tight end position. So, yes, Darren Waller is a fine option even at that hefty $6,300 price tag.
Okay. We're going to move ahead. Al, you want to talk about a guy that is the number 2 tight end in an offense, but also somebody that you could look at potentially for some really good value here. Dallas Goedert, touchdown each of the last 2 games. What is it that you like about Goedert this week against the Chicago Bears, who are not the Chicago Bears of old, I would like to say?
Yeah, reputation defense here is something that we look at as fantasy players. Seattle's in that boat. Baltimore's been in that boat as well. Oh, these are great defense. Well, they were, but they're not performing that way this year. Same goes to be said for the Chicago Bears. Now, Goddard's a number 2 tight end, and we don't usually like to roster tight end 2s on a team because there isn't that much volume to go around, but you look at the way that Philly runs, and they're 4th most in the league at running 2 tight end sets on 35% of their dropbacks. We have a situation where the Bears are allowing 75% completion rates when opponents are targeting the tight end, which is the 4th highest. You've mentioned that he scored touchdowns in the last 2 games, really accelerated end zone and red zone usage for him. What we really are looking for here is salary relief. Just like Mike talked about with Doyle, this is a good matchup. We want to save here so that we can spend up elsewhere. It's less about how great the plays are at tight end at 3K and more about what they allow you to do without killing you. He's averaging 7.5 points per game. We really need like 9 or 10 for him to achieve value. So even if he misses and just gets his average per game at 7.5, you're missing value by like 1.5 or 2 points. And if he does happen to fall into the end zone, you're living in value country.
Ugh, I love living in value country.
It's a great place. I have a brownstone there.
I just want to pack up and move everything I have to value country. Another guy that I think could be in value country. I'm totally going to steal that. It's my favorite thing.
Value
ever.
Country.
I love it. TJ Hockenson, $3,700. Listen, TJ Hockenson has been a pretty big disappointment since the first week where he just came and busted out onto the scene. $3,700 taking on the Oakland Raiders. They are vulnerable deep down the field, and Hockenson has the 7th highest ADOT among tight ends. So there is definitely more upside than this price tag suggests. If you don't want to spend that money, totally understand going a little bit cheaper at tight end. But if you're in a spot where, because you rostered a Christian McCaffrey or some other high-priced player, you're trying to find some value there, somebody to be able to look at. All right. Let us recap Week 8 really quickly. If you want to join our DFS League, Mike Clay and I will both tweet out a link to be able to talk about where you can join us. It is a free DraftKings league. $0 to enter, $200 in prizes. Last week's winner was my favorite winner of all the winners we've had, Chalupa Batman 325. Very excited about that. Thank you, Chalupa Batman, for joining us. Mike, you came in 108th with 186.46 points.
Yeah, it was a good week. We had to make some late subs from the lineup last week. So I had Kamara in the lineup. I put in Murray. I had Matt Ryan. He was out. Who was my quarterback? Stafford, maybe?
Sure.
I had to plug someone. It might have been Deshaun Watson, something like that. So yeah, it worked out pretty good. It was a little different than what we talked about, but again, we're just running our optimizer based on the value that we talked about in the sheet. We had a lot of those players in the lineup, and it turned out very good. If you used your value plays of FanDuel, you had a good week as well.
Yeah,
crushed it over there. Actually, I was in I always put our optimized lineup in a 50-50 over there just to see how it does, and it won. It was the number one lineup even in a 50-50, which only had to be in the top half. But it was the best lineup over
there. Nice.
So that's good. We had a good week. We'll see if we can keep it going this week. But yeah, I'll take the W.
Yeah,
you had a good week too. I mean, 146 is fine.
146.18. Right? So here's the thing. We had 2,200 people in the contest last week. Like, we are talking 50-50. So
that's what we're trying for.
I would have won had I been in a 50-50. Yes. I would have been in the cash.
That's what we're always looking for. And we've done that pretty much every week so far. So if you're following this advice week in and week out, again, you're not going to win every single week, but you're going to win almost every week. At least that's been the case so far. You're profiting.
Strongly suggest doing some 50-50s if you're getting into DFS as well, because it's just not as intimidating to go into like the Millie Maker. Although throw in a Millie Maker lineup just in case you want to bring home seven figures.
That's fun. That's for the rush. But if you're looking to just, you know, make bucks over time and you're patient, you don't have to be bold. You don't have to be like, I'm going to start Fitz and go into Dolphin Stack. You save that for tournaments. With these, you can go. I mean, don't get me wrong. In a 50-50, if you find a way to work Fitz in and stack up at other positions, I mean, think about what you could do with Fitz and Doyle this week.
I know.
Around that. I mean, that's an option, but you don't have to. You can go pretty safe and conservative like we do with these lineups and come away sitting pretty.
Wow. Fitz and Doyle. You could roster two Christian McCaffreys if you did that.
I think you probably could pull that off.
Wouldn't that be great? Al Zeidenfeld, we are going to absolve you from making a pick last week because of the fact that Mike had to change his lineup. So you made the pick before the lineup change. So you were stuck at 5-1.
But I was right, and that your lineup did outscore that lineup. So I'm 5-1 with an asterisk.
That's accurate.
Well, of course it outscored that lineup. Two of the players were not.
Yes,
Mike.
We're talking, yes,
that Mike. Is.
All right. Mike Clay, give us your Week 9 DFS lineup.
All right. Jameis Winston, a quarterback. We talked about him. I actually have the stack with Chris Godwin. So that's one of my wide receivers. I'm spending for Christian McCaffrey. It was a close call because I wanted to get Josh Jacobs in, and I would still try to do that. But McCaffrey was, like I said, he's still a value at 10,000. He's in there. Nick Chubb, you talked about him. Philip Lindsay, we mentioned him as well. He's pretty much a value week in and week out. I'm going to go, I don't love this, but I'm going with Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore at 43 and 4,800. They are just too valuable. So they both ended up in the optimizer. Jack Doyle going cheap at the tight end spot. And I'm going with the Redskins defense at only 1,800. I'm surprised by that because if we know one thing about Josh Allen, he turns the ball over.
He certainly does.
Yeah, so a chance to get a big play defensively.
Okay. My lineup this week, taking Derek Carr, $5,500. I'm going a little bit cheaper at quarterback. I have Le'Veon Bell, $7,700, taking on the Miami Dolphins. Josh Jacobs, understanding I'm pairing a quarterback with a running back here, but you know what? Those Lions have just been torn apart on the ground so far this year. I'm taking Mark Walton, $4,500. I know we just mentioned him briefly a little bit earlier on the podcast. Robbie Anderson, $5,500. I've got a lot into this Jets-Dolphins game. I think there's going to be... listen, they're both bad defenses. Someone's got to score points. Mark Walton's going to be able to get in the end zone this week. Robbie Anderson, $5,500. Chris Godwin, $7,300 I have here. And then Danny Amendola, $4,700. Last couple of weeks, I understand that he's not a big touchdown guy, not a guy that's down the field like Marvin Jones or Kenny Galladay, but somebody that I think is going to have some options across the middle of the field there.
7 for 60 is 13 points.
That will work for me. That will work. I am pairing Derek Carr with Darren Waller. He is my stack, $6,300 at the tight end position. And the Redskins as my defense. My grand total projection is 1 million points.
Okay.
Came in at $49,800, so I only have $200 left over.
Wow, just think of what your point total would be if you used all your money.
I know.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Unreal.
Al Zeidenfeld, you have heard both the lineups. Please tell us which one of us is right, which one of us is wrong for week 9.
I like that both of you are putting in about 70 touches at running back. You've got good wide receivers. But Daniel, you don't have Christian McCaffrey in this lineup, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. It's Mike Clay's lineup.
I like that Willy Wonka reference. Where I'm old enough to get that reference.
There you go.
Good day, sir. I said good day.
Oh.
Sorry. Sorry for your loss.
Don't be sorry.
Al is 5-1 this year.
And
I think if I assumed Ryan and Kamara were out last week, he would have picked me, so he would have been 6-1. So
we don't make assumptions.
It's decided.
We don't do assumptions around here. All right. Al is taking Mike Clay's lineup this week. We will see how it works out. This was a fun one. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, hanging out with us. We're going to be back next week. Every Thursday, we will be here. Join our DFS League, Mike Clay, NFL, at Daniel Dopp, at Al Zeidenfeld, all on Twitter. Go out, enjoy your Halloween. Have a ton of fun with yourself, with your kids, with your friends, whatever it is that you're doing. We'll see you guys next week. He's a brainiac. He's Mike Clay.